You're listening to The Jackie Daily Show. Follow me on Twitter at Jackie Daily Show. Listen, I'm going to talk to you again about why you need to sign a letter to President Donald John Trump about the proposal. When I say sign a letter, yes, I mean that. Go online and sign a letter. I'm going to tell you how. To your president. And it is all about stopping the dumping of high-level nuclear waste into your largest, most prolific, most critically strategic oil field in America, which is the Permian Basin. It's West Texas and parts of New Mexico. This is home to the monster fields of the United States. We have many amazing shale plays in this country, but this is the big one. It produces more than, I believe, every OPEC country except Saudi Arabia. This is a strategic asset. It has to be protected. It's an enormous country. We can put our nuclear waste anywhere we want. This is the wrong place. But it's going to happen if we don't stand up and put a stop to it and let the president know and anyone else that we don't want nuclear waste, which, let me be clear, I'm in favor of nuclear power. I'm 100% pro-nuclear. I grew up right next to a plant. My family worked in the plant. I'm not anti-nuclear. But we had a deal. The whole country had a deal with the government. We would do things safely and not leave the waste open to, say, terrorist attack to take out our wealth and prosperity and security. We don't need that. So I'm so happy because my friends out in Midland, the Midland-Odessa area, Mr. James Meyer, Tommy Taylor, and Monica Perales are back on the show to tell us about this effort to persuade the president, because this is the president who will do it. He'll do it. He's not going to say, well, I'll stay out of the way while they let the process work itself out. He'll get in the way if he should. And they're here to tell us about where they are with this process of organizing to stop the nuclear waste and what you can do to get involved. So I'm going to start with my friend Tommy Taylor, and he's the director at Fasken Oil and Ranch of Exploration. And so, Tommy, I know you've been in the trenches fighting this thing from day one. Explain why this is so important and what you're trying to do.
Yeah, and good afternoon, Jackie. It's good to be back on your show, and your voice is sounding very strong. I think the last time we talked, you were having some issues, so that's good to hear.
Yes, sir.
So what's going on is there's two companies that have permit applications in front of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to store all of the nation's high-level nuclear waste right in the middle of the Permian Basin. And the one that is in Andrews County is going to be just a parking lot, and they're just going to put the canisters out on the ground, and they would like to eventually bring 4,000 dry cask. Now, dry cask is 8 foot in diameter and about 20 foot tall, and it contains about 10 to 15 metric tons of high-level nuclear waste, the spent fuel rods out of the reactors. And that's a tremendous amount of radiation contained in each one of these casks. The site in New Mexico, they eventually are going to ask for 17,000 casks to be stored there. So it's basically all of the nation's high-level nuclear waste. And, you know, when they started this process with the NRC, they said they had it was called consent-based siting, and they had the consent of the communities that the communities were all for this. And this is kind of the crux of the letter to President Trump is, not all the communities are for this. Many of the community members aren't even aware of it. And so we're trying to raise awareness on our website. It's called protectthebasin.com, and that's where you can see the letter and read it and sign it, and we'll get it to President Trump. And we just think it's a huge security concern for our nation that people aren't aware of. And so that's kind of that's what kind of got us started thinking about maybe trying to talk directly to President Trump. The other thing that we have found is around the globe they store this material, and these other countries are under the guidance of the International Atomic Energy Agency. And in their, they have a guidebook on where recommendations on where and how to store this material. And in that guidebook, they say don't put it in a area where you have energy and mineral development, aka the biggest oil field in the United States. And so we don't understand why we would even, as a nuclear regulatory agency, even consider putting it here. But we met with some of the people that authored these guidebooks, and we brought them out, and we let them look at, the rail lines, where they're going to transport the material, how it's going to get there, how it's going to set out, and eventually could be a permanent repository for this waste, because once it gets here, there's not going to be anybody that wants to store it permanently. They're just going to say, well, the Permian wanted it, and there it is, and it's going to be there for hundreds of years. And I just think it's a really, really bad idea.
Hey, Tommy, could you tell Jackie's audience a little bit about this material?
Yeah, it's one of the canister, the dry cask, contain the same amount of nuclear wads that melted down in Chernobyl in 1986.
Okay.
And eventually, this material is highly radioactive, and if anything happens to one of those casks, that radioactivity is going to leak out and get into the air and go onto the ground. And so, the proponents of it will say, well, the risk of that is small. But why would you take any risk with one of the largest energy sources in the world?
Well, and I have to wonder... I have to wonder why anyone would ever do this in the first place. And when I posted this on my social media, it's funny because there was more than one person who spoke up and said, hey, I know whose project this is. I know what's being done here. How long ago did this get started? Because I have to believe it was before the Shell Revolution, right? Or was it?
It did, and it really kind of started in the mid to late 1990s, and they opened this site for a low-level waste storage facility, and that is controlled by the TCEQ in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
But what's going on now is the company that currently owns Waste Control Specialists and Interim Storage Partners is in the business of going in and buying nuclear power plants to decommission them and move the parts out. And, you know, the government was on the hook to take this material. They promised all these nuclear power plants that, hey, we're going to take this material from you when you're done, and we're going to put it in a permanent repository. And that hasn't happened. And you know, they said, the government said, we're going to start taking this in 1998. So, you know, 22 years ago, and it hasn't happened. And so they come up with this idea, well, let's take it somewhere else, and we'll just, they call it interim storage. But interim storage, they're talking about hundreds of years. and so the previous Secretary of Energy, Perry, is on the record as stating to the congressman that, yes, this, in fact, could become a permanent repository for this material. And it's radioactive for millions of years. And so it needs to be in a geologic setting, period.
Tommy, right now the law requires that if it be stored permanently, it be in placed in a geologic setting. That's why they're calling it interim storage, to get around the law.
Ah, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I was going to ask the question, and I have to cut to break, but I was going to ask exactly that question. Why would you move something so dangerous in the first place. To move it is dangerous, but then you're going to sit it there for 40 years and then move it again. Why would anyone do that? Well, now we know. All right, I have to get to break. When we come back, we'll continue talking about the plan to turn the Permian Basin, your most valuable oil field, into a nuclear waste dump by your federal government and others. And I'm talking with James Meyer of Green Century Exploration and Production, Tommy Taylor, Director of Fasken Oil and Ranch, and Monica Perales. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Jackie Daily Show. Follow me on Twitter at Jackie Daily Show and on Facebook and Instagram. And I'm continuing a conversation with my friends out in Midland, Odessa, in the Permian Basin, James Meyer, founder and CEO of Green Century Exploration and Production, Tommy Taylor, out at Fasken Oil and Ranch, and Monica Perales. And where we left off in the last segment, if you didn't catch it, and you can always catch it on podcast, by the way, there is a plan right now to bring an enormous amount of high-level nuclear waste. When I say enormous, I'm talking about potentially as much as the country has presently, and store it in the Permian Basin, the biggest oil field in America. It produces more than every OPEC country except Saudi Arabia. And for some reason, someone thought it would be a great idea to store our most dangerous, deadly nuclear waste in this area. If there is a release in this area, guess what? That all shuts down. That all shuts down. Remember Chernobyl? Well, there's going to be far more nuclear waste than they had at Chernobyl. I don't normally get excited about things, but I'm excited about this. And I'm a girl who grew up next to the American centrifuge plant where we created weapons-grade uranium in the Cold War. My family worked there. And I can tell you from having been there that the federal government will break promises about safety. You know, nuclear is great. It's a great form of energy. It can be done safely, but you have to do it right in the way you promised and according to the law. And what we just found out before we went to break is that the plan to store the nuclear waste is interim. They claimed it wasn't a permanent plan because it was illegal to do it permanently. Illegal. So it's interim to get around the law. They say it'll be there for 40 years. And then they're going to move this dangerous stuff again. Do you think it's dangerous to move that kind of stuff? Yeah. That's why we have a whole agency called the Pipelines and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration to oversee things that are dangerous. Anyway, there's now an effort to draft a letter or sign a letter for President Trump, for all the people out there, to say, we don't want this. Because you know what? If I talk to the people on the ground in Midland when I'm there, nobody's in favor of this. But if I talk to people in D.C. at the Department of Energy or the congressmen, they say everybody's in favor of this. Well, they don't say everybody. They say, you know, a whole lot of people want this in the Permian Basin. I haven't met those people yet. So, again, on the line, James Meyer, Tommy Taylor, and Monica Perales, I want to hit the point about terrorism. Because, you know, on my social media, I ask people, you know, hey, take a look at this letter I'm signing. And some people said, you know, this stuff's totally safe. Like, here's the reason why it's so safe. I said, what about terrorist attacks? This is in the letter to President Trump. It says, taking out Permian oil production via terrorist attack on one or both vulnerable storage sites would not only materially harm America, but would benefit Iran and the organizations funded by Middle East oil money and driving up prices. Here's the deal. OPEC contains, it's an organization of countries. It has some of the world's worst state sponsors of terrorism. And they are direct competitors with American energy producers in the Permian Basin. Do you think they don't have an incentive to try this? So I'm aghast. That's really the one point that excites me the most, or gets me the most mad, is this issue. It's not that I don't trust my government to do things competently. You've got to be thinking about people on the outside. So, James or Tommy or Monica, whoever knows, you know, has more to say about this issue, Are people out there talking about terrorism? I mean, or are they just saying they don't want something dangerous in their community? For me, it's really a national security issue.
Let me start on that, Jackie, and you're right. And one of our frustrations with filing contentions to the permit application is when you bring up the idea of a terroristic activity that could expose this material and contaminate a large swath of the Permian Basin, they just say, "Oh, well, that's a one in a million thing, and we don't have to consider that." And you know, you don't have to look far back to 9/11, and the Brookings Institute reports that the terrorists actually considered flying one of those aircraft into a nuclear power plant. And they thought better of it because, you know, it's got some restricted airspace. And I hear a lot of the proponents say this stuff is really safe. You know, it's stored at the plants. It's no big deal. This is not an application for a power plant. It would never pass muster putting it in the middle of the Permian Basin.
And Tommy, excuse me.
Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
Think about the size of the target, too. What they're doing is they're taking distributed waste sites, which are relatively small, all the nuclear power plants around the country. They're bringing all that material into two sites, consolidating it. I just see two great big terrorist bullseyes sitting in the heart of our oil fields.
Yeah.
Oh, you're exactly right. And Jackie, the consultant we brought out, that he spent his whole career, 40 years, in nothing but away from reactor storage. He's a nuclear engineer. And he said, "What are they thinking? You're just teeing it up for something really bad to happen."
Well, if I may add, last May, I met with a security analyst from Raytheon, and he said right now the two biggest targets, pipelines and the energy grid. And he said, if you all put all that nuclear waste in one spot in the middle of the oil patch, he said, you just moved up to number one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've never heard that before, and I'm glad that Raytheon is now being clear about the grid security. I'll tell you, when I was growing up, my grandpa, who held a top secret security clearance working at the nuclear plant, told me, and I actually think it was a common thought, that our town was actually on the target list during the Cold War because we had the nuclear power plant there. And again, we made commercial power, but it was also weapons-grade uranium. And so I've known this since I was a little teeny girl. People in my community know this. And it's obvious to people. In fact, I will now tell you guys something that I haven't told very many people because I was afraid I might sound crazy. But here's the true story. In July 2001, I had a dream about foreign jets crashing into the nuclear plant back home. And the dream was set in the 1980s for some reason. But anyway, I woke up and I couldn't sleep for like 3 days. I was scared for 3 days after having this dream in July 2001. 2 months later, September 11th happened.
Wow.
The exact same thing happened, except in my dream, for some reason, it was the Chinese who were attacking us, probably because I had no reference point for Al-Qaeda. I knew nothing about Middle Eastern terrorism, but I had a feeling that we were in danger and that that's how it was going to happen. And so that dream is very much in line with what I understood to be the biggest threat that I knew, which was what I was taught when I was small about the nuclear plant. So, you know, this is obvious and really hits home with me. Go ahead.
Jackie, I don't think it's only Middle East terrorists. I can imagine also where environmental terrorists that hate nuclear and hate fossil fuels.
Oh, yeah.
This would be a bonanza. And by the way, they not only hurt oil. If any kind of catastrophic event happened out here, that may put our nuclear industry out of business because they're already struggling. I mean, their image is horrible.
Yeah.
Starting with Three Mile Island and the other Chernobyl and Fukushima, and every time something happens, it gets more difficult. And this, I think, could just be catastrophic to the nuclear business. So it's not only the oil business at risk in our communities. I think it's that industry as well.
if I may add, that it's not the government that's going to be operating these storage sites. It's private companies. And they are developing the rules and the regs that will guide their operations as this process goes along. I'm following the application. I'm following this process. And they're making it up as they go because it's never been done before. No one has ever consolidated all of America's nuclear waste in one place.
Well,
and these companies don't have the financial wherewithal to withstand any kind of problems.
Well,
it needs to be in the purview and custody of the federal government.
Right, because they have the assets to at least secure things and the incentive to do so. If you're a private business, that's just more overhead for you. You know, you're there to make money. And so why should they apply themselves unless they're required by law? And I'll be the first to say, I don't know a lot about this business. There aren't many people in the business of moving and securing, supposedly, or storing nuclear high-level waste. But we are totally out of time. I've been talking with James Meyer, Tommy Taylor, and Monica Perales from the Permian Basin, and they have a letter that you can sign. You know, it's for oil men, oil women, and friends of the Permian Basin. You don't have to live in Texas to sign this thing. You can go online, sign the letter. It will go to President Trump. And it says, you, as an American, don't want to have nuclear waste stored in the most prolific oil field in America. That's one of our greatest assets and the source of our superpower status. We don't need to jeopardize it with nuclear waste going there. We can put it somewhere else. So one more time, James, tell them where they can find the letter they can sign online.
Well, thank you for putting it on your Facebook page,
yes.
Jackie Daly Show.
Yes.
And the website is protectthebasin.com.
Protectthebasin.com.
Sign it digitally. Correct.
Okay.
And thanks so much, Jackie.
No, of course. I'm happy to help you guys. I will continue talking about this. Please keep me updated. And however I can help, I want to.
Thank you. Y'all stay safe. Stay healthy.
Yes,
you
all too. Exactly. COVID-19 may be the last of our concerns if this comes to pass. We've been talking with James Meyer, Tommy Taylor, and Monica Perales. Here's a word from the Texas Public Policy Foundation.